the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I always want to give at least one sermon during March on vocations, so today is my last opportunity to do so for March of this year anyway. So I would like to reflect upon what this means. As you know, we pray the vocations prayer every Sunday throughout March, every day. We are praying the prayer for vocations. We have the rosary for vocations on First Fridays. So let us reflect upon this. And as we realize, there are only three states in life that are possible. There's the religious, and we'll include the priesthood in that because of the total dedication to the spiritual. And then there's the married state, and then there's the single state. All three are callings. We get the word vocation from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. So we all need to, no one is excluded here, to recognize what God's calling is for us in life and to follow that call and to live it to the best of our ability. This is God's will for us. This is how we shall become holy. This is how we shall fulfill our purpose, our mission in life. The religious life was instituted by none other than Jesus Christ himself. He called the apostles to a higher way of life by telling them, "Come, follow me." So they left everything. They left their career behind. Some of them, at least, were married. So they even, this was a very unique situation where they were called. God provided for their wife and children. Not all of them were married. Certainly St. John, the beloved, was not married. But they left their family. They left their property. They left their plans. And that's the religious life. It is a matter of discussion whether the apostles actually took the three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But even if they didn't take those vows, they certainly lived those vows. They gave up their property. They were living the vow of poverty. They gave up marriage, the good that marriage is. Not because it was bad, not by any means. This is God's own institution. But they were called to something higher. And then they gave up their own plan for life. Said, "Jesus, what do you want me to do?" Those that are not of faith will say, that's hard to be asked to do all of that. But remember, it wasn't against nature, it was above nature, above regular, what human beings normally would do. I remember talking many years ago to a young lady who was struggling with the Catholic faith and just, you know, having problems with it. And among the things is she said, "You as a priest, you as a religious, that's unnatural what you're doing." And fortunately, I had the inspiration at the moment to say, to return to her, or answer to her, no, it's not against nature, it's above nature. We sacrifice these things that are good in themselves, but we give them up for the kingdom, for the higher call, and for a greater reward. So again, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the religious life. We read about the rich young man who was invited by our Lord to come follow me. Jesus loved him. And the young man had come to our Lord saying, "Good master, what shall I do?" And Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He says, "I'm already doing that." And says, Jesus then loved him and said, "Go sell what you have, give it all away, and come follow me." gospel tells us he went away sad because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to give that up for God. And hence, spiritual writers fear for his salvation. Now, it wasn't a mortal sin for him to say no to our Lord. Remember, these are called the evangelical counsels, not the commands that bind on everyone. But here's the point we need to realize, that our Lord wanted to, maybe he was going to be the 13th apostle for all we know. And God was going to give him very special graces in this vocation, but by walking away from it, he was going to lose out on all of those graces. You see why St. Alphonsus Liguori says it's so critical to make the right choice in life. If someone's called to the religious life and refuses that, they're going to miss out on all the graces, because God is saying to them, I'm going to give you all these graces over here in this calling. You're going to have much, much less over here if you choose to say no. I can assure you, having been in religious life, having been in the priesthood, how many graces and blessings are given to us. It doesn't mean we're automatically saints. No, we still have that fallen human nature we have to fight against and overcome. But many graces and blessings. Again, the three vows, the life in common, the constitutions and rules. By the way, just like we have a U.S. Constitution, every religious order and congregation has its own constitution too. As a matter of fact, we even elect our superior general. The sisters do this well. They elect their reverend mother. This is done on a 6-year basis, and other officials in the congregation are elected. So let's look at the difference here between the priesthood and the religious life. Not all priests are called to be religious. As a matter of fact, most of them are not. You think, for example, Father Michael Anaya, Father Joseph Pham, they are not religious. They do have the vow of celibacy, but religious always have the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And they have to strive for holiness as much, if not more, than religious, because the priesthood is such a high and holy calling. No one can become a priest on his own volition. As our Lord told the apostles, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So when it comes to the priesthood, that's an absolute calling. When it comes to the religious life, it's an absolute calling in many cases, or most cases, but it could be that someone that's in the single life says, I don't necessarily feel called, but I want to give my whole life to God. God would not be displeased with that offer. But still, it can also happen that in cases like that, where I'm thinking of the famous example of Maria von Trapp. She wanted to give everything up to be a nun, and she tried hard, but it wasn't her calling. And so the mother abbess said, you're meant for the married life. That's God's will for you. But she at least was willing, and in her particular case, it just wasn't meant to be. So we desperately need priests and religious. I mean, it goes without saying, this is part of Catholicism. It's a blessing not only for those that are called and answer the call, but everyone benefits. There's graces that flow from every priest, every religious sister, every religious brother that follows the call, and they bring down graces upon the world through their vocation, in addition to benefiting themselves. To say that there's a crisis in vocations is one of the greatest understatements that could be made. And in the modern Church of Vatican II, the religious life is just disappearing so fast. This this is a bit of a tangent here, but I just wanted to, I was looking at a website that has some official figures, and here in Spokane, the Spokane Diocese, in 1964, there were 219 priests. And of course, they were validly ordained. There was no question about validity of orders. Now there are 97. So they've suffered a 56% drop. And used to be the average was one priest for every 311 Catholics. Now it's one for every 1,563. Insofar as nuns are concerned, in 1964 in the Spokane Diocese, there were 655 nuns. 655. There were not only some of them were contemplatives, but the rest were involved in teaching and in working at the hospital. So you go into Sacred Heart Hospital many years ago, almost all of the nurses were nuns. So right now, that has fallen to 81. So that is an 88% drop. And then the median age has gone up very greatly. And all I can think of is just how sad this is. Think of how many souls were being saved. Those sisters taking care of the sick and the dying. So many more nuns teaching in schools. But the problem is, of course, it has to be laid at the feet of the loss of faith in the Vatican II Church. They refuse to say anymore that the religious life is a higher calling. And they certainly started to water down religious life. They stopped wearing their habits. To me, that was, well, we all recognize that's one of the worst things that can ever happen. It's saying, I don't want to dress according to the dignity of my calling. So there used to be, well, things were better in the world. There was more of a sense of morality, more of a sense of decency. And there were just, it helped with more vocations. But nevertheless, our Lord is still calling young people to give him everything. To follow him. We need them desperately. As our Lord said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his vineyard. The initial sacrifice is hard. Again, think of that rich young man. Give it all up. Give up your own plans. Give yourself to Christ. But remember, the more we give, the more we do receive. And God rewards very generously. As a matter of fact, one time even St. Peter was saying, Lord, what will we have? We've given it all up for you. And Jesus said, I know. And he said, I promise you the hundredfold in this life and especially in the next. And the hundredfold in this life is not in terms of temporal benefits. It's in especially the spiritual benefits. So be of a generous heart, young people. You'll know if you have that calling. Say yes to our Lord. And he will reward you abundantly. And just think of all that spiritual good that you can accomplish by giving your life to him. One other very important part, and I already touched upon it, is praying for vocations. Our Lord said, he specifically said, it's about praying the Lord of the harvest. So by this prayer, there will be more seeds, spiritual seeds sown, so to speak. And there will be more grace for the young people to correspond. And I want to talk about the little town of Lou in Italy. Yes, that's the name of it. Two letters. Can you imagine a town with such a short name? Actually, it's it's Lou Monferrato, but it's called Lou by most people. But in this city, I'll read here. This little place called Lou, for short, never had more than 3,000 inhabitants, and it was mostly composed of farming families. The young mothers had sacrificed their wills to family life and were raising young children. Again, that's what makes people great. They're sacrificing themselves in their vocation, growing in holiness. Fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, single people in the mission that God has given to them. How great their reward for following their calling. So it was never more than 3,000 people in this location. And I just checked the statistics from 5 years ago. Right now there are only 1,100 people. But anyway, what's remarkable about this little town is that they devoted themselves to praying in a particular way for vocations. One of the priests had fostered a weekly holy hour for vocations. Another pious practice he started in 1881 was asked them to assemble together at Mass on the first Sunday of every month and offer their communions for more vocations. And the mothers in particular would pray, "Oh God, grant that one of my sons becomes a priest." I would think they would also pray for their daughters to be called to the religious life. But some of them would pray that prayer every day and received Holy Communion often for this intention. As of 1959, over 500 priests and religious came from this little town. Over 500. As a matter of fact, I have a photo here in front of me. They even would have this town was known for all those vocations, so they'd have a gathering of all the priests and nuns, and there's hundreds of them well over 100 in this photograph, and that's just a fraction of how many are there. So this goes to show, again, the influence that fathers and mothers have. If they value those vocations and pray for them, that indeed makes it much more a reality to happen. It's Pope St. Pius X who said, "A vocation comes from the heart of God, but it goes through the heart of a mother." So I'll close with an exhortation to prayer. Fervently pray. And let us thank God for all those that have answered the call. Pray for them that they become the saints that God wants of them. And let us pray that we all become the saints in our calling, the state to which we have been given, or the vocation that we have all been given in different ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.